Hello, my name is Cody Kuhn. I'm conducting an interview today on the history of the Forest Home Chapel as a gathering place. Today, with me, I have Paul. Paul, if you would like to introduce yourself and your connection with the chapel and the cemetery.
My name is Paul Halbrick, and I'm formerly chairman of the cemetery committee here at Forest Home Cemetery, and I've been a tour guide and docent here for the last 15 years.
Good. So, Paul, we have met already before a couple of weeks ago, and walking away from our meetup, I was extremely impressed with your knowledge and history of the chapel and the cemetery. So, I just want to start off with asking you a question about sort of the history of the decision as to why Forest Home Cemetery was established here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
The cemetery was founded by St. Paul's Episcopal Church. Church records indicate that by 1847, they were discussing the idea of a cemetery, primarily because the existing cemeteries in the city of Milwaukee were not well maintained or lacked dignity, and they were interested in developing a cemetery for the city, not for the church, but for the city, that would provide dignified and a peaceful rest.
Now this idea of having a cemetery just for this city, so when they decided to have the cemetery, they decided to locate the cemetery a few miles outside of the current city center at the time. Could you kind of explain the reasoning why they wanted one more in a rural setting than a urban setting?
Well, the whole goal, I think, at the time, or the logic they employed, was to find a place for a peaceful rest. That meant you had to go somewhere out in the countryside. You couldn't remain in the bustling city, so to speak. And so a piece of land was chosen about 2 miles from downtown Milwaukee, as the crow flies. And purchase was made in the early spring of 1850. At that time, they contracted with Increase Lapham to design the cemetery. Lapham was familiar with a cemetery in Cambridge, Massachusetts called Mount Auburn, and that is considered to be the first great garden or rural cemetery in the U.S. And so Lapham designed the cemetery, and the basic idea was to respect the existing landscape. So we don't have any straight roads or a lot of flat land here. What he did was took the existing topography, so to speak, and then put in roads around it. So it's a very untypical arrangement because there were so many curved roads. Literally, people can get lost in the middle of the cemetery, and it's just an interesting place to learn how to get around in.
Yes. So you mentioned the idea of having a garden cemetery. So one thing that really strikes me about the idea of a garden cemetery is like the connection to sort of the leisure at the time. So could you possibly go into how they kind of wanted a garden cemetery, as also during this time period, as you mentioned, it started in the 1850s, how many people really visited the cemetery as a place of leisure, as a time to spend their time on the weekends. Could you go in a little more detail about that?
Right. By the time of the Civil War, it became apparent that Forest Home was going to be a park-like setting for many people. There were no parks in the city of Milwaukee at that time. And by the 1870, people were coming here on Sundays to have a leisurely green space. Now, back in those days, most people worked 6 days a week, so Sunday was their only off day. And if they wanted to spend it in a leisurely way, they had to find open space, green space, that allowed them to do that. Milwaukee Park System doesn't come online until the late 1890s, so therefore Forest Home would be considered to be Milwaukee's first park. it got so popular that they had to start issuing tickets for people who could get in on a Sunday afternoon, because the crowds were upwards of 6,000 to 8,000 people, which was basically overwhelming the property, and they had to begin to manage it. So they actually installed a gatekeeper, a person dressed in kind of a policeman-style uniform, to manage the entrance into the cemetery.
Wow, that's very interesting, especially the idea of considering the cemetery as Milwaukee's first park that really encapsulates it as a gathering place. So you, in your previous answer, you mentioned how the cemetery was going to be used for everybody and all people of Milwaukee. So could you kind of just give more detail about the decision-making behind that and how the cemetery is really supposed to be kind of served as for the public?
Well, historically, when churches developed cemeteries, most of their cemeteries were for the members of the congregation. However, in the discussions, at least if you read the minutes of the vestry of the Episcopal Church, you would find that they were more interested in a broader idea of what a cemetery should be. And the phrasing that they used was for all faiths and nonprofit. That was the basic motto that they went with for many years. And they recognized that there were a number of people who did not participate in a religious community and therefore needed some place to be buried. What happened over time was is that the small city cemeteries that existed, the city closed them down because Forest Home was available for all faiths, so to speak, all people to be buried here. As time went on, it also became the only cemetery where someone of African-American descent could be buried. Other cemeteries had a religious focus, and often they would not allow people of African-American backgrounds to be buried at those locations. And so the decision-making really was designed to have something for the city and not necessarily just for the church. Was the focus in terms of how they developed the cemetery over time.
One question to go a little further. Do you possibly know the reasoning why the St. Paul's Episcopalian Church specifically decided to allow African Americans to be buried at the cemetery?
Well, I don't know that it was a decision-making to do that. It was just, well, we're for all members of the Milwaukee community, so they would be allowed to be buried here. I'm sure there were some people who said, well, maybe we shouldn't do that. But the ultimate or the final decision was is that they would allow people of an African-American descent to be buried here. Now, you should understand that a lot of the early African-American community here, when they passed away, many of them wanted to go back to their home communities where they came from originally to be buried. It was not unusual for anybody to do that, want to go back home and be with your family, so to speak.
Yes. That's great. I actually have a question. I'll probably ask it a little later on about really like all types of denominations that have been used the chapel and the cemetery. But before that, I just want to. So we've really just been talking about really the beginning of the cemetery, the 1850s, 1860s. So by the 1890s, the cemetery board started to consider having a chapel on the cemetery's grounds. Could you possibly go into detail about the decision making as to why certain people wanted to have a chapel?
Okay. Well, this can be a long answer because it's changing funeral practices that play into this decision to build a chapel at this location. Originally, when the property was purchased, it was purchased from a woman by the name of Polly Hull and her two adult children, who owned 100 acres in this particular location. The original purchase was for 72 acres. As part of that, you have to understand that Mrs. Hull's husband had been the rector, head priest, at St. Paul's Church. He died unexpectedly in 1843, and she remained in Milwaukee and active in the church. When she sold the property, she indicated she thought there should be land set aside for the building of an Episcopal church on the property. However, as time played out from 1850 till almost 1890, there was no desire or movement to build an Episcopal church on the property. So they began to explore the idea of developing a chapel on the grounds. The chapel would allow families to have a funeral service on the property in a chapel as opposed to a graveside service. And back in those days, if you were having a funeral and you were coming out to the cemetery, it was a day-long event because you were coming out by horse and buggy. The casket had to be brought out generally from the funeral director. One of the things in early funeral practices, basically Civil War on till late 1800s, was the family was middle class. The body would be displayed in a casket in the living room or the parlor of your house, and then people would come and pay their respects. And then after a three-day period of time, the body would be moved to the cemetery. And it just allowed families the option of having a funeral at the cemetery and then walking to the grave rather than going to their church, having a service there, then getting in your horse and buggy and coming all the way out to the cemetery to have a graveside service again. So it just facilitated that. The other thing that was an impetus for developing the chapel is that back in the late 1870s, Forest Home bought 50 acres of land on the other side of what was then Kilbourne Avenue. Now we know it as 27th Street, which would be the west side of 27th. But as time went on and development took place, they began to realize that then moving equipment across 27th Street or Kilbourne Avenue back in those days would be just too difficult. So they sold that property and they used those monies to build this chapel. That's how they were able to get it done.
Excellent. Could you possibly go into detail about the architecture and the interior of the chapel?
Well, the architects chosen were from the firm of Ferry and Kloss, and they had become by the early 1890s one of Milwaukee's more premier architectural firms, they designed it as to be a chapel as opposed to a church. So they didn't put in all the other things that you might have within a church. So there's no naves and so forth like that for statuary or stuff like that. It was meant to serve primarily for a funeral purpose. The stone that they used was the same stone that they used for St. Paul's Episcopal Church. It's technically known as Potsdam sandstone, and it comes from quarries in the Bayfield, Wisconsin area. So they used that particular stone for it. They decided to put in they decided to install conservatories on each side of the chapel area, which allowed for plenty of light to come inside the building, as electricity was still new and illumination was limited. And the other thing that it did is it allowed for displays of large funeral flowers that were used back in those days. Today, while you have floral arrangements, back in those days they were huge. It was a big deal. And those would be brought out to the cemetery and displayed in the conservatory. cemeteries on each side. Some of the pictures that we have of that, they're just quite spectacular, the amount of flowers that are there.
Yes, I've seen those pictures too, and it is quite marvelous. One thing that struck me when kind of researching about the conservatories is, now is this kind of true? The first, like, not the first, but the plants that they really wanted in the conservatories, they wanted to be more exotic, as you could say. They weren't really trying to use like domestic plants. They really wanted it.
They did, in fact, use a lot of tropical type of plants, and that was just to give it a unique quality. Because of the consistent light and warm environment, they could raise certain kinds of tropical plants, which gave it kind of an exotic feel, which made it unique and different. And when people would come, they would be able to see those kind of plants.
Yeah, I really liked learning about that. I think it was very interesting and made the place more unique. So, as the chapel gained more popularity, basically a couple years later, people started pushing for a crematory in the basement of the chapel. Could you go into detail about the reasons why certain people wanted the crematory?
Okay. Well, there was a local group in Milwaukee that was trying to have a crematory developed. Other cemeteries were not interested in it. And after a period of time, that group raised enough money to help underwrite the cost of developing the crematory. The crematory is located in the basement. It's done in a very, what I would call, fashionable style. It has two chambers. And because it was 1895, they were able to have an oil-fired facility. Prior to that, crematories just didn't have that capacity, and so cremation just didn't occur very often in American society. But with the availability of oil and being able to fire a chamber, they were able to develop that. A lot of the initial cremations at Forest Home were people from other states who literally transferred the body here by rail, had it brought to the cemetery, had the cremation take place, and then they would take the cremains back home with them, which meant they were spending a lot more for the cremation than they were for a traditional burial. However, for a lot of people, they would consider it to be an environmental thing. Rather than putting the body in the ground, that it was, you would save the land, so to speak. Cremation took place. Cremation did not gain popularity until the modern era, and the modern era, I would argue, begins sometime around 1990 and continues to grow dramatically. Far more popular in the western United States than the eastern United States for a period of time. However, at the time of this recording, based on information provided by Milwaukee County, almost 70% of all people in Milwaukee County are being cremated. That is a huge shift in what has taken place. In 1950, our data suggested that they were doing about 200 cremations a year. By 2000, we were doing almost 1,200 cremations a year. So it's a huge shift over a period of 50 years, and the reasons for it is it's actually cheaper than a traditional in-ground burial.
Yeah, I think it's very true that cremation has become way more popular over the years. I mean, my dad personally says that he wants to get cremated, and I mean, I kind of, it's a little too early for me to be thinking that way, but I kind of feel like I want to be cremated too. But continuing on with the crematory, one thing that really like strikes me when you go down there is they build a sort of a prayer room right next to the crematory. So could you go into the reasoning why they decided to have that?
Well, it was meant to be a waiting room where the family could sit and wait. And then they provided a small altar and where people could pray during that period of time for the departed. It was just a practice back in those days. In those days, the family accompanied the staff to the crematory in the basement. They participated in pushing the casket into the chamber and then closed the doors on it and waited until it was finished. And today, that never happens. the funeral director drops off the body and the cremains go back to the family. There is no family participation in the cremation anymore. Back in the year 2002, we converted from an oil-fired to a gas-fired approach to it. What was interesting is, since the oil tank that we had, or still have, could hold 1,000 gallons, we were really worried about it being a problem in removing it, because there's considerable cost. However, it turned out that for some reason, that tank is inside a concrete chamber. In other words, they built a concrete chamber around the tank. So the Department of Natural Resources indicated that we wouldn't have to remove it. Just had to fill it with sand, and that would be the end of it, which saved us a considerable amount of money.
Yes. So you kind of already previously kind of mentioned this, but how the crematory really served a lot of people out of state, and just not even from the Milwaukee area. So could you go into detail as to why the cemetery, the chapel, and the crematory kind of became an attractive place for people to have the funerals and the cremations for the family?
Well, again, it's just changing practices for funerals over time. And what it became an opportunity to, so to speak, have a full service cemetery in terms of what was available to the community. And I think that was the goal, is to be able to provide those particular services. I don't think there was an attempt to limit or anything, but just to be able to do that. Literally speaking, as things evolved over time, holding a service in the chapel was kind of competition to the funeral home, because the funeral home, as it developed, also developed the capacity to have a service at that location. Okay? And so you had these kind of competing elements in terms of who was going to provide those kind of services to the families that were out there. It's an interesting, if you take a look at the funeral practices changing over time, it's changed quite a bit. Even the funeral directors will tell you that cremation has crept up on them in terms of so many people being cremated, therefore you're not selling caskets, you're not selling all the services that they used to provide in a traditional funeral.
Yes, that's very interesting that you just mentioned that. Because it kind of goes back to this idea about how the chapel, the cemetery was supposed to be